Welcome to Double X Science. Science, it's the new black. Today is Saturday, February 23rd. I am Adrian Rorick, chemistry editor, and with me today is Jeffrey Perkel, tech editor. Hi, Jeff. What drew you to Double X Science?
I was familiar with Emily's work through social media, and she had posted, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago at this point, that she had started this new website with this interesting angle that I didn't think anybody else was really addressing. Science from a woman's point of view, and not dumbed down in some way, not cosmopolitanized, if you will, and started reading it, and it was, of course, great. How about you?
I also was familiar with Emily's work, and she was discussing this Double X Science, and I believe it was November of 2011, and I looked at the initial site. It was science aimed at women without the dumbing down, and as a woman in science, I was really interested in this, and one thing that appeals to me as a mom is anything that is science and kids related, so I asked if she would want Science Mom Approved Books for Kids list. And she said, yeah, write it. So I wrote it and became a page on the site. She asked if I wanted to be the chemistry editor since my background is in chemistry. And I accepted because it's a great site. And I'm so excited to be, you know, working with the site. Well, and I hope that our readers and listeners also enjoy the site.
Absolutely.
Now on to our week of posts. This week we had four posts. Monday's post was, Is There a Season for Births? By contributor Beth Skowrecki. The overall idea of the post is what birthdays tell us about human evolution and modern medicine.
On Tuesday, health editor Tara Haley talked about what really blinded Mary Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie. Adrian, you actually spoke to Tara and recorded her talking about this story a little bit, right?
Yes, I did. Let's listen to that now. Hi, Tara. I just wanted to talk to you real quick about your article, What Blinded Mary Ingalls. Could you tell me a little bit about it?
I came across this in Pediatrics. The study was really fascinating because you don't usually see doctors sort of delving into history a bit, but that's exactly what this was. A couple of researchers wanted to know, Little House on the Prairie Mary, the sister of Laura Ingalls Wilder, what blinded her? And in the books, it is scarlet fever. But when they dug a little bit deeper, they found it was actually meningoencephalitis. It's a lot easier to say and think of and remember scarlet fever than it is meningoencephalitis. It's probably why she changed it to scarlet fever in the books. But the evidence points in that direction based on the personal letters of Laura and the school records of Mary. So they concluded it was probably the viral form of meningoencephalitis, not the bacterial form. And they don't really know what would have caused it. Meningoencephalitis is an inflammation of the nervous system in the brain, and it was called brain fever back then. So they think it could have been caused by any number of things. It could have been an arbovirus, which is a mosquito-carried virus like dengue fever or yellow fever. Or it could have been a respiratory virus called an enterovirus, which polio is one of those, and there was no polio vaccine yet. It could have been Epstein-Barr, it could have been herpes. So it could have been any number of things that caused the inflammation.
So the end result is she did not have scarlet fever. She ended up blind from meningoencephalitis that had any number of potential causes. Are some of those causes still around today? Scarlet fever isn't, but...
Yeah, scarlet fever mysteriously started dropping down even before we had started using antibiotics for it. No one really knows why. But most of the others are under control. Dengue fever still exists, but it's very rare in the U.S. It just recently made a comeback down in Florida. Yellow fever is only in a few select countries. Epstein-Barr is still around. Polio obviously is not around because of the vaccine. And yellow fever, in fact, was stopped in the U.S. because of the vaccine. Another thing that can cause meningoencephalitis, although it didn't cause Mary's, was measles. And measles, of course, has a vaccine. So a good number of those diseases are no longer around because we have vaccines for them. But a handful of them are.
Okay. Well, that's very cool. So thank you. Thank you for writing the piece and thank you for talking with me.
Sure.
So that was an interesting conversation with our health editor, Tara Haley, on Mary Ingalls. And then on Thursday, Adrienne, you spoke with contributing writer Danielle Lee about some of her postdoctoral field work in Africa. She gave us a hashtag, DispatchesDNLee, handling lady business in the field.
Yep, this was a great conversation I was able to have with Danielle today, and let's go ahead and listen to that now. Hi, Danielle. Thank you for joining me on XX Science Podcast today.
Thank you, Adrienne.
So I wanted to ask you a couple questions about your series, Dispatches DNLee. Is that the series name?
That's the hashtag, but whenever I go to Tanzania and share my stories from Tanzania, I've been calling them Dispatches from DNLee.
Okay.
So the hashtag is...
What can people expect from that series?
So Dispatches DNLee, or Dispatches from DNLee, is my umbrella title for all of my correspondences, either from the field or about the field. I study wildlife in Tanzania, Africa.
What was the first post about, in case people missed it?
The first post was about understanding where I fit culturally within the scientific context there in Tanzania. And so I talked about my life at what's called a double bind, being both a woman and a woman of color, so being a person of color, doing science in Africa, which still has many colonialism residuals. And the fact is, the social construct really put me in a marginal place, not because I was treated marginally, they just don't have a social construct for a lot of female leadership there, and then acquainted with European or white American leadership. But as a black woman, whether I was Tanzanian or somewhere else, there's not a big construct for a black woman as a leader. So they were always juggling in very nice ways. That's one of the things about Tanzania. It's a very formal country, and formality and manners matter. And so it was just a really hard place to know where to interact with me.
Okay. And your recent post was an actual field diary entry.
Yes.
Why did you choose to go with that?
Well, that was a particularly hard day for me. And I wanted to talk about, again, looking at both being a woman and a biologist, so thinking about the intersection of being a scientist in a world that is, though it is reaching parity, ecology is one of those fields that I love because it has reached gender parity. But in the perceptions of most people, we still think of men as field biologists or field researchers. And so understanding that women sometimes have a little bit extra baggage to consider. And I started with that field diary entry because I had particularly gotten fed up with what I felt like was the extra baggage and how I had to deal with stuff. Yeah. So the whole beauty thing and hygiene and grooming and it just made me wonder. I've never heard our male counterparts where they complain about still looking nice at the end of the day.
Right. An expectation that women might be held to that men are possibly not.
Right.
So what might people expect coming up in your series?
I had a few interactions with some of the local women, and so I would like to be able to kind of talk about what they did share as far as what I call woman spaces. What I learned in Tanzania is that women and men don't socialize together. And women stay home a lot. So just learning from them how they interact in day by day, which is the reason why people held me to certain standards, because they thought I was a local woman or at least an African woman.
Well, that sounds really fun to listen to hear about the different cultural aspects and the intersection, as you said, of being a woman and a woman of color in an African country and doing science. So thanks again for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay, so Friday we had the latest installment in our series called I Am Mental Illness, and it's called I Am Mental Illness, A Quarter Century Chronicle by an anonymous author named A.M. This is the powerful story of a 20-something-year-old woman talking about dealing with various forms of mental illness her entire life.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And you can find all those posts at our website, xxscience.org. The individual stories are found this week by clicking on the links to the post title on the main pages. In addition to those posts this week, our sister site, Double X Science Junior, had two posts up by high school students participating in a program in Vancouver, Canada, designed to encourage and hone their science and science communication interest and skills. And this week we had a theme of whales, and both the posts were written by the same student, Kelly C., who is a professed whale lover.
They're interesting. The first one was, I thought, really cool. On the first, I've never even heard of this animal, the first sighting of a so-called spade-toothed whale, which is an animal that previously had only been known from a scattering of bones, but apparently in 2010, a couple of animals stranded themselves on a beach in New Zealand, and scientists were able to actually study the animals from intact organisms for the first time. And the other piece was on the language of whales.
And you can find these posts at xxsciencejr.blogspot.com. You can also get to XXXScienceJr. From the link on the XXXScience.org main page. Now on to our news. Jeff, what science news have you been reading this week?
So, Adrian, there's been some interesting news in terms of brain science, thanks to the President's State of the Union address and a story in the New York Times and elsewhere, basically indicating that the President and some in the research community are backing the idea of a large federally funded effort to study the working of the human brain, the connections of the human brain, that would be kind of the neuroscientific equivalent of the Human Genome Project, which we're still reaping the benefits of the Human Genome Project. Now, the president is talking about launching an effort of similar scale to map brain connectivity. And obviously, there are some in the research community who are quite excited about that. There are others who are less enthusiastic because they say, and these are some prominent names as well, saying that this is basically a multi-billion dollar waste of money that could better just go to basic research. And obviously, only time will tell what actually transpires.
Right.
How about you, Adrian?
I have been following some of the news coming out of the AAAS meeting that occurred this past week. The AAAS is the American Association for the Advancement of Sciences. And one of the panels I found most interesting was one about miscounting calories. And the little news blurb that I found was at sciencemag.org from Science Now, "Have We Been Miscounting Calories?" And this panel basically reviewed a number of recent studies that have come out that discuss anything from how food is digested in humans and a variety of other animals and the processing that occurs, and so how many calories we're actually getting out of our food consumed, which of course is related to the rates of obesity in the United States. Well, that wraps up our week at Double X Science.
Next week we have a new entry in the I Am Mental Illness series. I have a post coming on Tuesday about premature labor.
We'll definitely have a couple more posts on Double X Science Junior. Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Our music is provided by Editor-in-Chief Emily Willingham. Our artwork is by Dallas Lopez. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at XXI. This has been Chemistry Editor Adrian Rorick and Tech Editor Jeffrey Perkel. We are Double X Science, bringing science to the woman in you.